We're going to be reading together from Galatians 5, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thank you. Thank you, Belinda. Good morning, everyone. My name is Isaac Rye, and I'm the apprentice here at Summerlees. It's great to be with you this morning. This is my first time preaching, as Dave said before, and I'm really excited to get back into our Galatians series, Freedom Fighter, and look at this amazing passage about the fruit of the Spirit. As you can see, I've come dressed with avocados because fruit of the Spirit, avocados are pretty good. You know, I'm excited to get into this passage, but before we dive in, let's pray for God's help. Father, I thank you for your word. Please help us to understand what you're saying to us this morning and go home worshiping you. Amen. When I was little, my dad used to read me lots of kids' books. And one of the authors I remember him reading to me was a guy called Todd Parr. He wrote lots of stuff like the Feel Good book and the It's Okay to Be Different book and the Family book. But my favorite books were the do's and don'ts books. Let me read to you some do's and don'ts by Todd. Do brush your teeth after every meal. Don't brush it with peanut butter. Do use a tissue to wipe your nose. Don't use your finger. Do put away your clean underwear. Don't put it in the freezer. So, why am I telling you not to pick your nose or put your underwear in the freezer? Well, I reckon as humans, we just love rules and instructions. So we look at the sins and fruit of Galatians 5 and we treat it like it's a list of rules that we need to obey to be good and perfect people. But if this was the case, we'd be in heaps of trouble. If it was a passage about do's and don'ts, we've all don'ted every do and do'd every don't. Sometimes I might love, but other times I hate. Sometimes I might show kindness, but other times I'm selfish, like really selfish. Well, fortunately, I don't think we're supposed to look at this passage like it's a little Christian rule book. You see, if we've seen one thing in the book of Galatians, it's that Christianity is not about being perfect and obeying all the rules. The first four chapters have shown us that that's not what the gospel is about. So what is going on in Galatians 5 then? What is it all about? Well, I reckon the main thing we should be thinking about when we read this passage is our growth. You see, God does want to grow us. He doesn't save us to just sit there and say the same. He wants to see us change and become more like his son, Jesus. But the way God does this might surprise you. I reckon the big idea for this passage, Galatians 5, is this. God grows us as we battle. So what I reckon the big idea for this passage is God grows us as we battle. I reckon this chapter is another part of the Freedom Fighter series where it really brings the fighter out. But we also see here a massive message of freedom and assurance. Before we get into the battling part, it's God who works first. Before it's anything we do or any effort we make, God's the first one to take action. And that's because God is the one who bears the fruit. Take a look at verse 22 with me again. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, notice how it doesn't say the fruit of the Christian. It doesn't even say the fruit of the born-again Christian. No, the Apostle Paul called it the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the believer. It is vital that we understand this because as soon as we read about the fruit of the Spirit, we can slip into thinking that it's all about us. But before this fruit is anything we do, it is definitely something that God does first. And you know what? This is really good news. It's great news that it's God's fruit. Why is it good news? Let me give you two reasons why it's good news. First of all, it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence because now we no longer have to live in fear or feel insecure about the fruit we produce because God is the one who bears it in us. If it was up to me, I would be hopeless at producing good fruit. I mean, come on. I wake up in the morning and then bam, there goes my mind wandering off into places it shouldn't go. I covet, I lust, I hate. I wouldn't be making fruit. I'd be making thorns. If you try to live according to Galatians 5 in your own strength, you're in for a super stressful and insecure life. So the wonderful news of this passage is that you don't have to do it in your own strength. Praise be to God that He is so generous, that He would change us and renew us, that we would be more like Christ. We no longer have to fear being justified by our own efforts, and we can take comfort in the fact that it's God doing the miraculous work and not us. Throughout this whole letter to the Galatians, it is very clear that it's not justification by works. If it was by works, we'd be slaves once again. There'd be no freedom and there'd be no good news. The fact that it's God's fruit is good news because it gives us confidence. That's the first reason. The second reason it's good news is because it saves us from pride and boasting. You see, if it's God's fruit, then I have no reason to boast. I have no reason to be proud, and I have no reason to be judgmental. Let's say there are two dudes. One's name is Jimmy, the other's name is Johnny. Jimmy and Johnny are both extremely poor because they are too lazy to work. They both live in shacks filled with spider webs, and they can't afford to shower, so they smell pretty funny all the time, and they're always so dirty, and their breath smells like what naps taste like. If naps have a taste, I think they do. One day, Jimmy's dad decides to give him $1 million. Just like that. $1 million for Jimmy. Now, would it make sense for Jimmy to look at Johnny and say, "Ugh, you're so poor and dirty and smelly because you do nothing"? I don't think so, because Jimmy was all of those things too. And Jimmy's dad generously gave him $1 million, and he didn't deserve it. It wasn't Jimmy's hard work that made him rich, because it wasn't him who made that happen. It was only because his dad made the decision to make him rich. So of course he isn't going to look down at Johnny. Now, in a similar way, when God gives us His Spirit and bears fruit in us, it wouldn't make sense for us to look down at others for their mistakes because we aren't the ones who bear the fruit of the Spirit. God is. It's not the fruit of the believer. It's the fruit of God's Spirit. So, if God is bearing the fruit, we can be comforted by the fact that there is no pressure for when we fail, and there is no pressure to be perfect. We can thank God for growing us in the fruit of His Spirit and making us more like Christ each day. And we can also thank Him that we are free from boasting, free from arrogance, and we're free from being judgmental. God bears the fruit. However, this doesn't mean that we should sit back and do absolutely nothing. Our willingness plays a part in this too. We all know that you can't love someone against your own will. It is God who brings godliness, but the way He does this is by calling us to walk. Let's look at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Go down a little bit to verse 24 as well. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, it is super important to understand that God calls us to walk. I reckon all of us would agree that walking requires being active. Am I the only one that gets a little bit puffed after walking up to the car park from here? Or maybe going down or up Mount Wellington? I think you get the point. Walking requires being active. We know from the first point that it's because of God that we have the Spirit working in us. But you've also got to look at the fact that it says, walk by the Spirit. We also need to be involved. Look at the language in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, just a side note, the flesh here does not mean your physical body. The flesh is the sinful part of the human heart that has not yet been renewed by God's Spirit. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the flesh here. So those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucify is also active language. It's a command to actually do something. So what does it mean to be active here? What are we being called to do? Well, I think that what we should do is that we should look at the list of the desires of the flesh and no longer tolerate them. And instead, we should seek to follow the leading and guidance of the Spirit. In verse 25, we're called to keep in step with the Spirit. He will guide us and He will prompt us. He will bear fruit in us. But we need to go with Him. Don't resist Him. Don't go back to the sinful nature. Listen to and follow and walk with the Spirit. God calls us to walk, and walking by the Spirit means being active. And being active means hating the desires of the flesh and longing to follow God's Spirit wherever He may lead. Now, this could be, like, it could appear a bit confusing, because my first point is that God does the work, and my second point is that we do the work. Now, it can be super easy to take either of these points and say it cancels out the other. One extreme says that because God bears the fruit, I sit back and I do absolutely nothing. The other extreme says that I have to do absolutely everything. And the only thing God does is He sits back and He eats His popcorn and He pats me on the back and He encourages me to be a better person. Both of these extremes are equally dangerous, because it really is both God and us taking part in our Christian growth. Very important. It is both God and us taking part in our Christian growth. It's the same thing as praying before a meal, because most times when Christians prepare a meal and eat together, we thank God for the food. And even though we worked to get money to pay for it, we went shopping for the groceries, we preheated the oven to 180 degrees, put the ingredients together and then cooked it, we'll still thank God for being the provider. Because we know that the only reason why we can eat this food in the first place is because God, in his grace, has given us all these things. Another example is when a Christian is sick, they pray for healing, yet that doesn't stop them from seeing a doctor. Sure, we take the pills the doctor might give us, we do the scans, we change the habits and so on and so on. And as well as doing all those things, we still ask God for healing. So even though we believe God is in control of our food and health, it doesn't mean we stop working and stop looking after ourselves. In the same way, God bears the fruit of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean we aren't involved. He grows us by calling us to walk. And this is the great news about our walk. I can have confidence in pursuing godliness because I know that God is going to get me there. I'm going to say that again. You should write this down. I can have confidence in pursuing godliness because I know that God is going to get me there. It's important to remember this because if you think you're on your own, you won't get very far. And if you try to walk by the Spirit without even walking in the first place, well, heck, you'll be stuck in the same spot. God calls us to walk, so let's walk with him. Now, for my third and final point, even though it's a frustrating thing to deal with, God uses it. God uses conflict. Whoops, that was already on the slide. Let's look at verses 16 and 18. 2:18, sorry. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's read verse 24 again. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We can see from these verses that all Christians are going through an ongoing battle of conflict. Some people think that if you look inside a real Christian, you'll just see heaps of flowers and rainbows and you'll hear the kind of gentle music that you hear inside a Coorong shop. But this is actually the complete opposite because inside each Christian, there's a war going on. And here's the thing, although it's frustrating, it isn't necessarily a bad thing when we find ourselves fighting temptation because it's a sign that God's Spirit is working in us. He's making us new. So often, Christians find themselves struggling to live godly lives. We find it hard. We feel like we're falling apart sometimes. Perhaps you feel this or have felt this. Sometimes, at the peak of temptation, it's a huge pain. You might even wonder whether or not you're a Christian at all. But be comforted. If you feel that battle, that is a good sign. That means that the Spirit is at work in your life because that's the conflict that Galatians 5 is talking about. It's actually the Christians that have no struggle that I would worry about more. And the best part is that we know this battle has ultimately been won. Look at verse 24 again. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If someone is crucified on a cross, he has most certainly been defeated and he is as good as dead. But that doesn't mean necessarily is dead yet. He can kick and scream and complain. Now, we could do two things here, right? We could either talk to him, give him a Panadol, we could look after him, could give him a foot massage and tell him everything is going to be okay. Or we could hammer the nails in even harder. The flesh has been defeated by Christ on the cross, but it's not yet dead. So the flesh is defeated. It's defeated. It's lost, but not yet dead. We must treat it as if it is dead and continue to keep it up on the cross. The flesh has lost, but its final breath is yet to come. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Christ has given us a new self, a new life. The flesh has been given a mortal wound and is now bleeding out. I've heard John Piper teach that the Christian life involves reckoning the flesh dead by adding stones to its tomb. Christ has caused the victory of this battle, but it's not yet finished. And as the final stages of this battle continue, God grows us. In these final stages, God is growing us. And we constantly need to rely on Him to grow us in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we know that as we face temptation and fight against the desires of the flesh, we know that this is God's Spirit working in us, putting our old self, the flesh, to death, renewing our heart. Let me finish to you by reading you a quote from Martin Luther. Therefore, when a man feels this battle of the flesh, let him not be discouraged. Let him resist in spirit and say, I am a sinner and I feel sin in me, for I have not yet put off the flesh in which sin dwells so long as it lives. But I will obey the spirit and not the flesh. That is, I will by faith and hope lay hold upon Christ, and by his word I will raise myself up. And being so raised up, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for working in us. Thank you for bearing fruit in us. I thank you for calling us to walk. Help us to keep in step with your Spirit and grow us as we battle. Pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.